What a joy it is to be back in your presence, my dear friends. Before we begin this morning, will you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we enter into this space this morning knowing that you have already met us here. In fact, you walked with us even before we entered this space. You've journeyed with us all along. So we ask this morning that you would open our ears to hear the good news that you have to share with us. For it's in your holy name that we ask these things. Amen. Has it really only been a week? Has it only been a week since we've gathered together in this very room to sing glorious hallelujahs? Has it only been a week since the Easter egg hunts, the backyard barbecues? For many of us, our Easter weekends were a short, welcomed break from our everyday life. We relaxed. We used the few days off of work to gather together with friends and family. And if you're anything like me, you chose to set aside the piles and piles of homework and studying for finals to take a break and binge watch an entire season of Grey's Anatomy. For some of us, though, Easter Sunday was not a break from reality in any way. While we were worshiping together in here, the bombs of life were continuing out there. Maybe it was the never-ending and ever-extending to-do list that you just can't ever seem to catch up on. Or maybe it was the silence of your home after another holiday without your spouse. Or maybe it was the responsibility of caring for your elderly parents when you seem to just feel like you have nothing left to give. Or maybe it's that you're simply exhausted, tired of feeling like there is no light at the end of the tunnel, tired of wondering what your next step might be. It's finals week at Duke Divinity School, and my semester officially ends tomorrow. But I still feel like I have so much left to do. This has arguably been one of the toughest semesters of my entire life. I feel like I have been knocked down from all sides without a break in sight. And when I think about all that I still have left to do, like put the 20-page paper that I have all written, I swear, in my head, onto paper, or study for that really intense final that I have tomorrow afternoon, when I think about all of that, I just get so overwhelmed. So for me, last Sunday, Easter Sunday, did not feel like Resurrection Sunday at all. In fact, it just felt like it was the calm before the storm. I woke up on Monday morning just facing the mound of work that I still had left to do, and I found myself wondering, where is Jesus now? Where is the resurrection power? Maybe this is exactly what Peter and the disciples felt on that day on the Sea of Tiberias. It had been some time since the day of Jesus' resurrection, and I wonder if Peter could faintly remember how Jesus came to meet them in that locked house, how he showed them his hands and his side, and then sent them out into the world to continue the work. But while they were still in that locked house, the world outside still raged. The Roman soldiers were still hunting them, and they were still afraid for their lives. Life was still happening outside of that locked house. So what did Peter and the disciples do? Well, they went home. They journeyed back to Galilee, where it all began. They tried to re-enter a semblance of what reality looked like for them before Jesus entered the picture. They went home. But life was still happening. So they went fishing. I guess that's what you do when life is still happening and you need a break. You go fishing. Peter asked, "Why don't we just go fishing?" But even that didn't work out, you see. They couldn't catch any fish, no matter how many times they put their nets over the side of the boat, or no matter how late they stayed up into the night. They could not catch any fish. So there they were, Easter people. But still, somehow, they were defeated. Maybe they were tired of working, tired of running, tired of wondering what to do next. Maybe they were questioning whether Jesus was truly alive too, whether he had met them at all in that locked house. Maybe it was all just a dream. I wonder if they thought. But then Jesus showed up. Does this story seem just a bit too familiar to you? It should. In fact, these very same disciples were in the very same situation just 3 years prior to this story. You know the story. They were fishing all night and didn't catch a darn thing when a mystery man came up and told them that they were fishing in the wrong spot. After catching enough fish to live like kings for several years, Jesus asked them to leave it all behind and to follow him. We know exactly how this kind of story will go. So we shouldn't be surprised that is exactly what happens this time too. They can't catch any fish. Then Jesus shows up and everything is made right again. He tells them, "Put your nets off to the side of the boat." And suddenly, they're hauling in hundreds of fish. So is this the resurrection power they have been searching for? A spectacular miracle? Well, actually, no. No, I don't think so. I think that the resurrection power is a little more subtle. Maybe the power of resurrection actually comes when Jesus says, "Come, have breakfast with me. Come, have breakfast with me." There is something so special about a shared meal. On my first full day of this internship at PUMC 2 years ago, Sarah, Pastor Sarah, asked me, I think, the most important question that I can remember from that day. She asked, "Where would you like to go for lunch? The staff is taking you out." That must have been a pretty spectacular meal, because now you guys can't seem to get rid of me. There is something just so special about a shared meal. The invitations are sent, the food is prepared, and the places are set, ensuring that there is enough for all. But it isn't until the bread is broken that the miracle occurs. At the dining room table, relationships are formed. At the dining room table, we are present with one another. We press pause on our lives. We gather. We listen. And we share. At the table, we are sustained. At the table, we are strengthened. I do believe that something miraculous is in that. It just might not look like the type of miracle we expect. Some of you know that my husband, Michael, and I are expecting our first child in August. So last month, we were waiting on some genetic testing results just to make sure everything was okay. And of course, we were a bit nervous, like any first-time parents would be. But we became even more nervous on one Friday afternoon when the doctor's office called me, asking me to return their phone call pretty immediately, or as soon as I could. And I was stuck in a lecture, so I didn't get that voicemail on time. So I had to wait all weekend long to hear what the news was. What could be so important? So, of course, I spent the whole weekend worrying. And I made up my mind at 9 o'clock on the dot come Monday morning, I was going to call the doctor's office. But I didn't have to. They called me. The nurse said, "There is a 90% chance that your baby will have spina bifida." Now, she said, "We don't know for sure just yet, so don't worry, but you will need to make some more appointments to come in and do more testing, just so we can be sure." And I felt my stomach drop, and my knees started to give out, and suddenly, I felt like I was on the floor. Before I knew it, I was Googling absolutely anything I could find, and none of it was helpful. My mind raced to the worst possible outcomes that could be. So we got the appointment, and it came time, we got the appointment scheduled to figure out that definitive answer. But all we had to do now was wait. The weekend before our appointment, it came time for our usual life group gathering. Those of you who have been with our church for a while know that life groups are a gathering of about a dozen adults in a home who share a meal together and long to be connected to one another and to grow in faith together. I've always loved my group, and I really look forward to reconnecting with them every month. But I have to admit that last month, that was just the last place that I wanted to be. All I could think about was how worried I was about our baby. But Michael and I went anyway. And the second that I walked into the home where we were gathering, I knew that I had made the right choice. We walked in and were greeted with open arms and countless hugs. And as I listened to the stories that were shared from my friends, I found myself smiling and genuinely laughing for the first time, and it felt like days. As we ate, these feelings continued to grow. I felt happy. And when it came time for prayer requests, I felt something stir in my heart. I wanted to share this news with my life group. But when I looked up at the table at all of the smiling faces, I wondered, did I really want to burden them with this? Was I really ready to tell them that, in fact, I was sick with worry? Then I looked around the table again. But this time, I saw faces of people who truly loved me and longed to share with me this burden and join me. So with an encouraging look from Michael, I took the leap of faith, and I was vulnerable. There was something so special about that meal for me. Though the world was raging around me and I had no idea what would lie ahead, I received a miracle. The presence of God sustaining me. Jesus sat with us at that dining room table, strengthening me for the journey ahead. Now, I didn't see him physically, but he was there. Did he show up and make promises that everything would be better? No. But he was really present through the friendships of these people and through the promise of their prayers. Maybe this is resurrection power. Maybe it's simply the act of gathering together, sharing a table together, allowing those closest to us join us in the midst of our suffering. Maybe that is where the resurrected Jesus is present, strengthening us through the ministry and the witness of others, sustaining us through a pot roast or a meatloaf, a common table. I'm happy to share that our baby boy does not have spina bifida, though he will be a carrier of that gene just like me. But I'm even happier to share that I didn't have to walk this journey alone. The risen Christ is still meeting us all the time. And it doesn't always look like a net full of fish. Sometimes it simply looks like a breakfast of fish on the beach. A monthly gathering of some brothers and sisters around the table. The opening of a heart. The voicing of a prayer request. This is the power of the one who is risen. Glory to God. Amen.